Praise and thanks be to the Lord also for this service and the grace that we are allowed to come together. I asked Brother Rus to say something, and he said, "I have nothing to say." And I wanted to do the same. And then we could have stood up and worshipped. I believe that anyone who still thinks they have something to say these days could confidently be told, "You have nothing to say." Did you get it? Anyone who still thinks they have a lot to say in these serious days has not yet realized that they have nothing to say either. We are here to hear what God has spoken, what He has said. And that is also the reason why we deal with Brother Branham's sermons so deeply and warmly, why we immerse ourselves in them, why we let God speak to us in order to understand what it is all about now. Because it is not me or anyone else who has been ordained by God to do this, but Brother Branham, like Paul at that time, to tell the church what the Spirit of God has to say. Hence, again the reminder of the glorious word from the letter to the Corinthians, which Paul wrote, that Spirit-worked content is combined with Spirit-worked language and thus presented to God's people. I want to be very brief this afternoon. You know, I'm very tired and actually need a good rest, but that must also come from above. Here, in this sermon, Church Order, on page 2, second paragraph, Brother Branham says, "I'm not trying to usurp authority or something like that. But you see, a man or anything with two heads, it doesn't know how to go. God never did have two heads to His church. He never did. It's one head. He always dealt in every generation. As we've studied through the scriptures, there's always one individual that He deals with. Because if you take two men, you got two opinions. And it's got to come to one final absolute. And my absolute is the Word, the Bible." Now, you certainly realize here what this is about. This is the introduction. The assembly has been called together to talk about these things that were going on, about the gifts, about their operation, about the deacons, and so on. At the bottom of page 6, we read, "I believe that time has struck the Branham Tabernacle to know how to take the gifts that God gives us, that He can entrust us with something even greater than what we have got. But we cannot go along when we are like a man that's always have to be told everything. Remember, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophet, says the scripture. When you see a man or a woman that you have to correct, and that person gets out of order, although you are telling him the scriptural truth, then it shows that the spirit that's on them is not of God. Because the Bible said, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets, or prophesying, or testifying, preaching, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, and so on. This is also very important. Every person who needs to be corrected in some way, or who needs to be told something, will thank you from the bottom of their heart. Anyone who is admonished and then lashes out with all fours, such a person probably doesn't know whose spiritual child he is. If we are of God, we let ourselves be told, as it says in 1 Corinthians 13, that love can be told. It does not puff itself up. It does not behave itself unseemly, but it bears, it endures all things. And that is actually a very nice standard. A person who has the love of God, who has been loved, who has accepted redemption in Jesus Christ, who has become a child of God, you can do what you like with him. He will love as long as he is on earth. There is no other way, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But, of course, we also realize that it is much easier to admonish others than to accept admonition ourselves. Yes, the Amen wasn't quite loud enough, but that's the way it is. Brother Schmidt says, that's right. But that's the way it is. We are naturally all very quick on the uptake when we want to say something to someone else. And sometimes we don't even do it in the right tone, let alone with the right words. If the tone is no longer right, then the words are no longer right. And if the words are no longer right, then everything is no longer right. Then the whole atmosphere is no longer right, and it's a contaminated thing. And we cannot have that. Every person who is used by God to admonish others must first let God's admonition wash over him, must become completely silent, and must think three times before he speaks once, and then know what he has to say, and that must be according to the word. You know, I'm very impulsive by nature. Nobody can change that. The lawyer told me some time ago, he said, Mr. Frank, you need to take a deep breath, then exhale, then think, take another breath, and then you still have time to say something. Unbelieving people observe you very well, and they realize how quickly you react. But whether the quick reaction is always the right one is not guaranteed. So, the scriptural admonition is that if one of us, and it could even happen, let's take an example from the front row, that our beloved brother sits down here in the front row with his children, and someone comes up to him and says, listen, beloved brother, I find it annoying if you have to go from the very front to the very back a few times with the children. We all understand that. But couldn't it be that you could just as well sit a little further back? If the brother is from God, then he will think, he will reflect, and he will say to himself, wait a minute, am I becoming an offense to someone by doing this? Am I disturbing the service? Am I disturbing the congregation? Am I perhaps disturbing the work of the Spirit? Am I holding anyone back by what I now have to do urgently with my dear children? And then he will consider, so if I'm disturbing in this way, then I will sit more towards the back, so that I'm no longer disturbing. And the brother would say, man, why didn't you tell me that before? Why are you only telling me this today? It's been that long. then we can bless the brother and say, listen, this is a wonderful thing. The Spirit of God is resting on you. You have understood the matter. But if the brother lashes out and says, you were once just as small as my little girl is now, and you didn't behave any better than she's behaving now, and if he then lashes out right and left, oh, that would be very sad. That would be a great pain. Then you would have to say, beloved brother, that's not how it works. Do you understand what I'm saying? I just take one example to apply what Brother Branham said here to us in a very practical way, to understand what it can mean when a deacon, and this is coming up now, that the brothers who are appointed to the ministry or the task, that they then have to see to it that everything is right in a church service. And Brother Branham describes them as policemen. They are compared to military police within the congregation. And a certain amount of supervision is appropriate and must be recognized. Blessed is every person who has the grace to be told. And I was given that by nature, perhaps through my upbringing. I always thought about everything that was said to me. Whether I could grasp and understand it straight away was of secondary importance. I thought about everything I was told, whether I realized it or not, and that's how it is to this day. So, the practical side of a church service is also very important, because it can disrupt the spiritual part. And if the earthly disrupts the spiritual, then it is not right. Then we must ensure that the earthly is organized in the same way as the spiritual, so that a service can take place without any disruption. Amen? That's the thing, you see? And we are getting closer. Don't you worry. I have complete trust in God. I can't imagine that we come here just to hear and then leave everything as it is. No, if I need to be corrected, then I need to be corrected. And it's the same with everyone else. No one can afford to stand above things and perhaps be exalted, but everyone finds their place that God has ordained for them. I read, we want the church to benefit by these gifts that's in our church. God sent them to us, and we want our church to benefit by these spiritual gifts. So let the man who speaks with tongues, and the one who interprets, and the one who prophesies, let them come together before the church ever meets. Let them meet in a room to themselves, waiting on the ministry of the Lord to the church. And then he says, is that understood? I didn't understand it in the past. Today, I would shout as loud as I could, yes, I have understood. After the hardest lesson a person can endure, things that are said in a room where two or three are gathered are not yet in the public domain. They can be scrutinized. They can be put right. Things that are brought into the public sphere can never be taken back. It's like the inlet of a duvet that you slit open and the wind blows the feather in all directions. Then there is nothing left to save. But God, in His grace, will have a church in which every member submits under every word of God. Who says Amen? Very nice. Praise and thanks. At least one. And I claim that God spoke through Brother Branham. And sisters, you know exactly how seriously God spoke to all of us, but also how well He meant with us. Is it true or not? And when 1 Corinthians 11 says, the head of Christ is God, the head of the man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. Every woman who rejects her husband as head is beheaded and walks around headless. Have you heard? God, Christ, husband, wife. A wife has lost her head if she rejects her husband and does not submit to him. For the husband is the head of the wife. And if the wife lays aside the head, so to speak, then all she has left is what is underneath. And then she walks around headless and no longer knows what she is doing. Do you think the scriptures make empty words? Do you think we have the right to smile about it? When God's word tells us that the head of Christ is God, and the head of the husband is Christ, and the head of the wife is the husband, do you think God gives any of us the right to smile and think by ourselves, here it comes again? No, and no again. God's word is God's word and will remain so for all eternity. And if we cannot submit to it, we will have somehow missed it one day. It goes on here, when the people meet together, let them who have wisdom first come. Because you see, if one speaks in tongues and gives an interpretation according to the scripture, that cannot be received unless it be witnessed by two or three people. Two or three more witnesses has to witness to that they believe it to be the word of the Lord. Because sometimes in these minor ministries, just like in any other ministry, you get spirits that's wrong. See, they will fly in there, and we don't want that. No, we want these ministries ready to be exposed, if they are to be exposed, because anything of God, you don't worry about exposing it. It will stand the test if it is of God. Amen. That's it. No one needs to worry. And you, dear brothers and sisters, who have been operating gifts, we hope that God will really give us a direct outpouring of His Spirit shortly, and that the sweetness of God will spread in a way like never before. If any of you speak by inspiration, and even if what has been spoken is not right, you are not made out to be wrong, but only the thing that has been brought, but not the precious, blood-bought child of God, who may have said something out of his own urge or impulse. That's why Brother Branham gave the admonition here, that those who have the gift of wisdom and can discern, that they go with those who operate the gifts. And I say again, it can happen to anyone. Think of it. Even Brother Branham had to correct himself as a prophet. And every sermon he preached from the very beginning could have been considered infallible, uncorrectable. And you know very well that as such a great man of God, he himself grew in spiritual things and had things revealed to him more and more deeply. We have already said it here, and we all know it. The most striking of all the points is the first seal, when he said in the year 1960 that the rider in the first seal is the Holy Spirit who has gone forth to conquer. And when the seals were revealed in 1963, it was not the Holy Spirit, it was the Antichrist. Yes, I beg you, a man of God said in 1960 of the first seal that it was the Holy Spirit, the rider on the white horse, and so on. And after the seals were opened, he said that this is the Antichrist. Think of it. If we were to say now, wait a minute, then you are wrong. Here you said it this way, and now this way is right. There is no such thing. Realize once and for all that a child of God is a child of God and remains a child of God for all eternity, and that we grow in knowledge. I'm only saying this now, because if someone has announced something or spoken something as a revelation, as speaking in tongues, as an interpretation, as a prophecy, whatever, and if it was perhaps not correct, that does not mean the person, but only what was said, and we want to distinguish that once and for all. We do not come together to judge the brother or sister who has prophesied or spoken in tongues or interpreted in order to sit in judgment over them. Then we are carnally minded. We come together to judge what has been said, and not by our own judgment, but by the Holy Spirit, by the gift of wisdom and revelation, to determine whether the matter is so. You know, when the Lord, and this is really the truth, over in the office, I was looking at the window where the telephone is. I looked at the courtyard, and when the voice, and I told you, it always comes from the right side. The voice never came directly from the front, never from the left. It always comes diagonally from the right. Right from the first time, on the 2nd of April, 1962, I looked at the window. The voice came directly from the corner on the right. Every time, whether in Marseille, whether in Fanneux, or wherever it was, every time the same voice of the Lord comes, it always comes diagonally from above, from the right side, every time. That is also the reason why I never have a translator on my right, but all translators in every country are always on my left. Well, I don't need to explain this to you, but I was sitting there, and I really wasn't thinking about anything, and as clearly as you hear my words, my servant searched the book of Acts to see if ever a man and his wife were ordained to the ministry. I tell you, I winced. It's the same every time. I trembled, and I turned around and began to read. And I say to myself, Lord, I don't need to read any further. I know it never happened. Yes, what now? If we would have had brothers who would have said, one moment please, don't lay hands on yet, don't bless yet, don't put them to work yet, check first. How could one check if it happens before a whole assembly during the altar call? Who can then still consider? Who can then still do what? Everything is in the process. And we have made ourselves partakers of things only because we have not heeded what Brother Branham said here, that those who have gifts should come together and that God will reveal it to them when He has something to reveal. And that those who have the gift of discernment and wisdom and knowledge, that they kneel down and remain before the face of God. And that when something comes, they will be able to discern whether it is biblical or not. Beloved, we all want services in which God reveals Himself. I do too. But if it starts before the service, that the Lord can use those whom He already wants to use, and that it is then transferred to the service, and that the full blessing of God can then come. This is much better than if we can have our own ways and think God has blessed mightily, and one day it turns out that a lot of things were not in order and did not agree with the Bible. What then? The Spirit of God will always agree with the Word of God. There is no thing that the Spirit of God speaks that does not agree with the Word of God. Remember one thing, brothers and sisters. Don't drop the matter. Don't throw in the towel. But rather, as Paul exhorts, let the gift that has been put within us be stirred up. And we all no longer want to sit as spectators somehow at a distance and say, let's see what happens. Rather, if we are a part of the cause, we can sit back and say, let's see what happens. We have to put our shoulders to the wheel. We have to push forward and go forward together with the Lord's help. If we sit on the sidelines and think, let's see what happens, then nothing will happen and we'll end up sitting on the sidelines. And I don't want that. I want to be part of God's cause. And if I have done some things wrong, it doesn't mean that I'm wrong. It just means that I've acted wrongly. And if others have done wrong things, it doesn't mean that they are wrong. It just means that they have said wrong things. And so the matter is already settled. And we all move on. And we love all the brothers and sisters with all our hearts, and only put aside the thing that is not of God, but not the man whom God has purchased, and for whom the blood of the Lamb was shed. Well, amen, yes, that's how it is. On page 11 it says, or perhaps even before, now then, if someone writes a message that's been given in tongues or given in prophecy, and laid upon the platform, then the thus says the Lord from these people who spoke and interpreted must be read by the pastor before the service starts. And if that comes to pass exactly the way the interpretation said, we raise our hands and give thanks to God for His Spirit among us. If it doesn't come to pass, then don't do it anymore. Until that evil spirit is out of you, God is not a liar. He has always been the truth. A very simple thing. And now I say again, he who is truly of God does not defend himself. He is not concerned with whether he is right or wrong. I ask you today, if I were to give a prophecy about something that I should announce, why would I have to defend it? If I wanted to defend it, it would be my thing, and then I want to lead the cause. And that is the big problem. If it is God's cause, then the one who has spoken can cross his arms and wait to see what happens. And even if it is wrong, that person has nothing else to fear but God, and to say, Lord, take this thing from me, because it is not right. I only want what comes from you, only what your Spirit gives me. And then it's all over, and we can go forward with the Lord. I think we have all understood that well. Here it was said, if that comes to pass, exactly the way the interpretation said, we raise our hands and give thanks to God for His Spirit among us. If it doesn't come to pass, then don't do it anymore till that evil spirit is out of you. That's the thing. And that's what most people don't realize, that the other spirit can actually creep in. And it's almost the same feeling. It's like an anointing. It's the same emotional things that go through the body, whether this spirit or that spirit is active. And that's why the gift of discernment is absolutely necessary. You only need to talk to the brethren or whoever is used of God. People who don't believe the message and have long since been proven not to be sent of God, they have the same feelings, all outward, all inward, all the same. But it depends. If it is the Spirit of Truth, then it will always agree with the Word of God, and the person will always allow themselves to be corrected and will say, thank you very much for helping me. If the person is lashing out and justifying himself and so on, then the thing is of the evil one. Then a submission before the face of God must take place before help can be given. Only a person who can really submit to what was not right can be helped. A person who rises up and defies and defends and so on cannot be helped. That applies to me and it applies to all of us. It goes on here. Now I'm telling you all, a few years ago, you were children with these gifts, playing back and forth, but you've been to school long enough, And it's time to be main. Not use these just to play with. These gifts, they are sacred. They are of God. And you don't play with them. Let's let God use them. That's what your ministry wants to be. That's the way to put the Branham Tabernacle in the service. And if this is questioned any time, let this tape stand as a witness that that's the way it's to be done in the Branham Tabernacle. So we should not deal with these things like children. And now we are supposed to be adults. I believe that the time has come for us to be told, to accept instruction, and to submit under the mighty hand of our God. I believe in a full restoration. I believe that God will pour out the latter rain. And Brother Kupfer reminded me that the sermon from Böblingen should be sent out to everyone. It was a word from the Lord, a wonderful word from our God. And I believe with all my heart that God has given the promise and that He will fulfill it. But before it can come to fulfillment, people must have received instruction. What has happened? First came the teaching, then came the early rain, now comes the teaching, and then comes the latter rain. What good is the great and mighty rain if the right seed is not in the soil? When the rain comes, it brings forth what is in the field, and we must first plow again and work the field well and sow the infallible revealed Word of God, and then plead for the latter rain, and it will come. I do not put my hope in myself. If I did, I would be hopeless and could walk away. I put my hope with all of you and with all those who are not here today in the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, who has spoken, and not just once, but several times, giving instructions through the guidance of His Spirit. He did all things. Now another thing comes to mind. When I was sitting in my office on the Lech Street at around 10 o'clock, and the voice said literally, "Cancel your trip to India." And I told you here, I wrote it. I'm a man who keeps his word. If I can't keep it, I have many faults, but I try to keep the words I give, the promises I make. Maybe it's my Prussian nature, I don't know. But when the voice rang out, "Cancel the trip to India," I can tell you, I cringed. I didn't say a word. I sat down in the car, drove out, and I prayed and said, "Lord, the meetings are all arranged, the halls are rented, the newspaper adverts, everything." It was all done probably a week or so before, and I was desperate and said, "Lord, if at all possible," and God was so gracious, I said, "If at all possible, hold your hand over me and let me make this journey." And it was probably a quarter past 11, but the voice was stronger and more powerful. "Cancel your trip to India." I can tell you, I have rarely been on the phone so quickly and sent the telegrams to the various brothers. And you read it. When the plane exploded in the air with 96 passengers on board on the flight from Bombay to Madras. And I was booked on the flight from Bombay to Madras. And I heard that in the morning news at 8 o'clock on the day I was supposed to fly there. I can tell you, it went through me, through marrow and bone. How faithful is our God! And so I can list one case after another where the Lord has spoken in His grace and faithfulness. And there is not a single thing that has not been as He said it would be. And that's how I know it's the same voice and it's the same Lord who spoke. Now, here is what it says for the deacons. And I'm slowly coming to the end because the time is almost up. It says here, "Brother Branham, In respect to the order of the church, we have tried to go accordingly to the way we understand the orders given in the dedication of the new church. And by doing so, some have gotten mad and left the church. And others will not listen to anything we say, especially the children. We have talked to the parents about their children, and they won't take care of them. Now, have we misunderstood? Or are we going about it in the wrong way? Thanks. Now let me answer this as they come down. In respect to the order of the church, we have tried to go accordingly to the way we understood it given in the dedication of the new church. That's correct. You are doing the right. Now, this is supposed to be deacons, I suppose, cause it's a deacon's job. And by doing so, people has often gotten mad at us. They do at me too. They will do at any man. See? A person that does that, there's something wrong with that person. They are not right with God. For the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teaching, Christ's house, Christ's order. Keep in mind what was said here. They do at me too. They will do at any man. See? A person that does that, there's something wrong with that person. They are not right with God. For the Spirit of Christ is subject to Christ's teaching, Christ's house, Christ's order, and so forth. And any man, any woman, or any persons, children, parents, if anyone gets angry, then there's something not right with them. We really want everybody in this church that we can get. But if that would be only cause trouble somewhere else, there's a thorn or a rabbit in the woodpile, as we used to say it. That person isn't right. So, a person who refuses to be corrected, who does not accept admonition, whether it's about children, whoever it may be, beloved, the question must be asked, have we died with Christ or have we not? If we have died, then we are dead, and you can almost do what you like with a dead person. He only moves from time to time. No, he doesn't move at all. Not that we are sleeping this afternoon. A dead person doesn't move from time to time. He doesn't move at all. He lets everything happen to him. But someone recently said to me, Brother Frank, you've been the lamb long enough. Why don't you realize that the Lord Jesus also took the whip once in a while? But we don't want that. We want to bear everyone with love, and as far as it is up to us, keep peace with all men. Whether they do it with us, it's up to them. Take it with you, and take it to heart. A person who is admonished, no matter why, if we would say to our choir master, listen, tune your instrument before you start singing or playing, and not when you have already called the people forward, then he would have to say thank you. Then he should say, gosh, I didn't even think of that. From now on, I will do that beforehand. No matter who you say something to. If I said something to our brother Schneider, he would be so grateful. He would be beaming all over his face. No matter who you would admonish, everyone would be grateful from the bottom of their hearts, right or wrong. And if we are not, then we don't want to be helped. Have you realized that? If we are not grateful for what we are told, so that we are helped, then we don't want to be helped at all. And then I ask myself, why do we come here at all? Just to have Christian entertainment? That would be a very poor entertainment. Then you could go to any charismatic movement, and there would be much more entertainment. It would go from right to left, but not upwards. We want something that comes from above and pulls us upward. Neither left nor right, But what comes from above pulls us upwards. And if someone could say to me, Brother Frank, this or that, when you translate the sermons, maybe you could do it that way, I would thank you, everyone, with all my heart. And let us be so sincere with each other, and you will see what God does. No one talks about anyone to anyone else. Everyone says it to the person they want to say something to. And everything is forgotten forever. No one bears any grudges. And everything becomes the way God wants it to be. Now just very quickly, Brother Branham, how far can or should a deacon go to keep order in the church? Should we keep the order or wait until Brother Neville tells us what we should do? That isn't Brother Neville's job. That's your job. See, you don't tell Brother Neville what to preach on, how to preach it. See, that's your job. You deacons, you are supposed to do that. You take care of that. That's nothing to Brother Neville. That's your job. See? Now, if a policeman's out here on the street and he sees a man stealing property out of the back of a car, should he call the mayor and say, "Now, mayor, your honor, sir, I'm working for you here on this police force. Last night I found a man up the street here. He was stealing some tires of a car. I just wonder, what's your opinion of that?" See, that wouldn't be sensible. He wouldn't need permission to arrest him. No, it's his job in the first place. And he has to fulfill this task. He doesn't have to ask for a long time. And I think Brother Branham was a man gifted by God, naturally gifted and spiritually gifted. He had a natural gift to give such examples from the natural human realm. They are really like a hammer that strikes, and we all recognize them without having studied philosophy. And it is the same in the spiritual realm, that he brings things that no one else has brought. He was truly a man sent by God, the like of which has never been seen before or since. It goes on here. And if a man's doing something wrong here in the church or anybody, stop them, talk to them. Don't be arrogant. Brothers, you who will accept this ministry, this is addressed to you now. Don't think that when you have been elected as deacons here before the congregation, that you can then walk around with your chest held high, so to speak, and strike the tone you want. Far from it. On the contrary, then you must speak to every person with meekness and humility. Because just as you shout into the forest, so it will echo back. And that is a very serious admonition. Don't be arrogant. But if they won't listen, speak in a way that they know what you are saying. See, like you tell a child, say, "Walk back there," and he's misbehaving. Deacons, stay at your place. There's four of you. Oh, nice. Well, we'll choose four too, with God's help. I would like the brothers who have been named and would like to fulfill this office and make themselves available for it. It is a thankless ministry, but I would like you to feel free to tell me so that I can announce it when the opportunity arises, and then it can be done. It goes on here. And watch real close for renegades and everything else comes in like this, you see? Be on the guard. You get to your post of duty and stay there. That's your seat. See, we have our beloved brothers. We have the elders here and the trustees. And they are all sitting nicely on their seats. And that's correct. The moment deacons are elected, they no longer sit in the middle of the congregation. They sit at the very back at the exit, to the right and left, and one of them might be outside and see what's going on there. They have a task to keep watch, to have their eyes open. They ensure that the service runs smoothly, seen from the outside, whereas everyone else can sit down nicely and be blessed during the time when you are carrying out your task. I read on. A deacon takes care of the house of God. When someone comes in, speak to them, be there to greet them, shake their hand. You are the policeman. Say, could we show you the cloakroom? Or would you be seated? Could we hand you a songbook? We would like for you to enjoy yourself here. And we are happy you are here with us tonight. Lead them right down to a place and say, would you like to be closer to the front? Or would you rather sit at the back? That's hospitality. So far, I have only read aloud. Which of you brothers is capable of doing this without putting on a mask? And warmly welcome someone and saying, feel at home in our midst. If it is a stranger, a warm welcome. May I help you? Which one of you? Brothers, it's not just that you are standing there now. Here are tasks, and I ask you with all my heart, read these pages, pray about it, deepen yourselves in it, and then go before the face of the Lord and say, my God, I do not want to be useless in the house of God. I may not be able to sing. I'm not in the choir. I'm not in the trumpet choir. I don't preach, and so on. But perhaps I can fulfill a task here. If it is your will, O Lord, then help me, by grace, to fulfill all these requirements. I know one person who has been doing just this for years in politeness, and you won't believe it, but that's my brother Arthur. He was a deacon in a church over there for years, and he welcomed everyone, and always had a big smile on his face, and gave the books to the people, and so on. I still think about that today. Maybe he even has the opportunity to share a little bit of his years of experience with the brothers. We are all so conservative. We are such a tense bunch, me especially. Who do we shake hands with? Who do we let know that they are welcome? Everyone walks past each other with their head bowed, so to speak. Is that what we are here for? Is that the fellowship of the Spirit? Is that the love of God? Fellowship of the Spirit is an intimate connection with God and with each other. And when we see each other, we rejoice, and then we reach out our hand. And if we know people well enough, we let them know. So, there's a lot here that will do us good when we come in here. And a beaming face awaits us. And we come in here. It's very different from when people come in and a small group talks here and a small group talks there. People come in and look around and don't even know what's going on. It all has to change. These are earthly matters, but they are part of it. As long as we are still on earth, earthly things must also be organized the way God wants them to be. Do you agree with that? Amen? Praise and thanks. This is a marvelous way, and we will follow it. And we say, my God, we no longer think ourselves wise, but we accept your wise counsel, and that in all fear of God, and say only, Lord, come to your right with us. In closing, once again, the opening word, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, how much more glorious is the ministry of the Spirit? Beloved, in this place, we want God to come to His full right by grace. I don't think there is a single person here in this place today who hasn't realized what this is all about. It's not about holding a position. It's not about having a job. It is about everyone allowing themselves to be used by God and deployed where it is given according to their abilities and possibilities. And so we will all have a share in the kingdom of God. And one will not be smaller and the other not greater. All will be equal, from the first to the last. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Isn't that a marvelous atmosphere in the presence of God? I must say, I feel at ease. And I say yes to all that has been brought to us. It is the divine order for the church, and we want to practice it here in this place. And God will help us all to do so. May He bless the two elders even now. May He bless our two brothers who have so faithfully carried out the task of the trustees. And may He bless the brothers who will call out with God's help and with their consent, of course, that they will carry out this ministry which has not yet been organized here. And then we will all feel at ease. And those who come from outside, and I, we are all happy that all the brothers will then have a task, and we can then be the ones who enjoy it and receive the blessing in full measure. Praise, honor, and glory be to our God with all our heart. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps you will pray, brothers. Faithful God, we thank you for these moving words of instruction, admonition, and rebuke. Lord, you only mean well with us and want to help us in all things. Give us all a humble heart, Lord, and a bowed spirit, O God, that we may receive your word in the right way, that we take it to heart. Faithful God, perhaps it has not been as it should be until now, Lord, but we are human, forgetful and weak, Lord. Often we make many mistakes, Lord, but still you are faithful, Lord, and overlook it, Lord. When we look up to you, Lord, we realize it, Lord, and we may come back to you, Lord, and say, Lord, you know us. You know how we meant it, Lord. Help my brothers, help us all, Lord, to love one another and appreciate one another, to accept what we are told by grace, O Lord. Help every brother, help every sister, Lord. Help me, O Lord. Help us all, O Lord. If you help us, Lord, then we are helped, O Lord. We worship you and praise your grace and your mighty presence, Lord. For you are not far away, Lord. You are near. And where your word is, there you are also, Lord. Praise be to your name. Hallelujah. Receive the thanks. Receive honor and worship, Lord. We believe, Lord, you will reach the goal with us, Lord. You have begun, and you will finish, hallelujah, unto the day of your soon coming, Lord. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, we wait for your appearing. Hallelujah. Glory to your wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.